Welcome once again to our series of the Universal Call to Holiness or Wholeness, spoken of by the Vatican Council document and, of course, repeated so often in Pope John Paul II's talks across the globe as the Pilgrim Pope. Everybody is called to be like Jesus. That's the model we have of holiness or wholeness. And we've been talking we're in the section we're talking about means of holiness. Of course, we talked mostly and specifically about the seven sacraments, using those wonderful gifts of divine life that the Lord left with the church, one holy Catholic and apostolic church. And we talked about practicing virtue, acquiring habits of virtue, as opposed to habits of vice or evil actions that we do just out of habit. We can learn to do good acts out of habit. We talked about the gifts of the Spirit, which we pray for and ask for God, wisdom as an example. So actually, we talked about, of course, the seven corporal works of mercy, bodily works of mercy, and seven spiritual works of mercy, how we can aid others bodily, feed the hungry, clothe the naked. We talked about how we can aid others spiritually, advise the sinner, counsel the doubtful, comfort the sorrowful, pray for the living and the dead as examples. So we're actually going to talk about now about prayer, and as defined for us or as taught for us by some of the great masters, spiritual masters of prayer, Teresa of Lisieux, John of the Cross, Teresa of Avila, of course, who may be considered one of the greatest teachers of prayer, even for ordinary people. So my guest once again is Ron Eldred, who's professor of religion and world history at John Paul II Catholic High, and I'm your host, Monsignor Larry Morin, pastor emeritus at St. Patrick's. So once again, Ron, welcome, and we're talking about prayer as a means to achieving wholeness, holiness, wholesomeness. Can we begin with kind of a general statement about what is prayer? How important is it for helping us grow in wholeness and holiness, because we have to grow or go up the stages of the mountain?
Well, to become a saint, and this is, of course, what we've been talking about, because that's what that's why we try to become holy, is to become a saint. And to become holy means, of course, to be like Jesus. And by becoming holy, when we can achieve sainthood, which is union with God in this life and for all eternity. And prayer is one of the most important activities required to achieve holiness.
Okay, so it sounds like we're saying that we couldn't really achieve what God calls us to be, make a masterpiece of our life, have union with God here as well as hereafter, without prayer.
Prayer and holiness go together. One cannot exist without the other. Those who are holy pray, and those who pray are holy. This is kind of an old saying that goes back many centuries in the church, and prayer is one of the principal means with which to achieve holiness. And through prayer, we receive the graces from God to practice the works of mercy that you mentioned at the beginning of the program, that we spent, I think, probably at least a couple of half-hour sessions on, to grow in the virtues and to make full use of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which we receive at baptism and get sort of a booster shot at confirmation. And our objective is to learn to practice one to achieve the other. Through prayer, we can achieve union with God. And the closer we come into union with God, the more God communicates with us. In other words, that's prayer. Communication is what prayer is, really.
I'm reminded of Augustine's famous dictum or saying that prayer is the oxygen of our soul. We all know how important air or breathing or oxygen is to our body, but Augustine then talks about, well, That's what we need for our soul to stay alive and to grow strong. I think many people, many of us, fear prayer because it seems something so perhaps foreign or complicated. Couldn't we say that prayer is just a conversation with God?
I think that's the simplest definition. In fact, this is how St. Thérèse of Lisieux defined prayer, just a conversation or a talk with God. I might add that our prayer life reflects the intimacy of our relationship with God, just as our conversations with our parents and siblings and friends reflect the intimacy of our relationships with them. Just as we must go through progressive stages of intimacy with them, that is, you know, as we grow up, our relationships grow, of course, we must go through an increasingly intimate relationship with God. The God who dwells in us when we are in a state of sanctifying grace. So the students that I teach, the middle school students I used to teach and the high school students that I've been teaching for quite a few years, you know, I remind them that, you know, the Trinity, when they're in a state of sanctifying grace, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit actually is dwelling in their souls. So prayer is just simply a matter of learning to communicate with God who is in our souls.
Okay, so that's trying to put it in simple words, but it's probably as accurate as we can get. Prayer is conversation with God. Now, of course, that would, and we'll talk about it as we're going along, but conversation always includes speaking and listening.
Yes.
And that we have to have both to have it a genuine conversation. Otherwise, it's a monologue. Sometimes we forget that we have to leave time for God to talk to us if it's going to be genuine prayer. Well, Ron, I think you wanted to add another sentence there or two.
Yes, the Catholic Church has accumulated a vast wealth of knowledge about prayer and holiness over the centuries. And prayer has a systematic structure. And during this and in future sessions, we're going to provide our listeners with some of the most important knowledge that we need with which to pray well. In other words, we're going to tell them what some of that structure is.
Some methodology.
Yes, and some of the great, you know, holy spiritual directors over the centuries have through their own practice of prayer, have developed and shared with us.
Sure, as we mentioned earlier, St. Teresa of Avila,
yes.
St. Teresa of Lisieux, John of the Cross, St. Ignatius of Loyola,
yes.
And they've taught us methodologies, how we can be a good conversationalist, good speaker and good listener with God. Okay, well, let's talk about prayer in general now for a moment. So, what is prayer?
Since holiness brings us into closer union or friendship with God, it's natural that we should desire a more intense relationship with Him as we progress in holiness. And prayer is the principal means with which we communicate with God. Peter Kraft, a noted contemporary Catholic philosopher who teaches at Boston College, I think Boston College is a Jesuit school, if I recall right.
I believe so.
College. He says that prayer is a relationship with God. It is talking and walking with Him. The Catechism of the Catholic Church tells us that, quote, prayer is the raising of one's mind and heart to God, or the requesting of good things from God. And to repeat what I had said earlier in our talk here today about St. Thérèse of Lisieux, she said prayer is nothing more than a conversation with God.
I liked Peter Kraft's statement there. It reminds me of the book of Genesis where it says that God walked and talked with Adam in the Garden of Paradise as one would talk among friends. So before Adam fell, there was that unique closeness to God in and particularly in prayer, are in conversation, walking in the cool of the evening. And I always thought, I think also we need to walk and talk with God in the heat of the day when we're under pressure and under trouble.
I might add, Peter Kreft, I think he got his doctorate under C.S. Lewis. I know he studied
really
under C.S. Lewis.
Isn't he, Peter Kreft, a convert also to the church?
I believe he is, yes.
Okay. Well, most I think most people think of prayer as something just verbal. I have to be saying words. But aren't there other types of prayer, too, besides just using words?
Yes, most of us think only in terms of this one type of prayer, the verbal or the vocal, it's called either. However, experts in mystical theology, such as St. John of the Cross, that you mentioned a while ago, St. Teresa of Avila, and many others, classify prayer into three types, verbal, meditative, and contemplative. Although it isn't this simple, verbal prayer has been associated with the purgative stage of holiness that we spent, I think, about at least one half hour session on earlier in this series. Meditative prayer is associated with the illuminative stage, and contemplative prayer with the unitive stage.
Okay, let's put those distinctly a little bit. What is verbal or word prayer, vocal prayer, which we most of us are pretty well acquainted with?
Well, it's the most elementary form of prayer. This is the type of prayer that we associate as a conversation with God or the angels or with the saints, and it's formed in words. The Catechism tells us that, quote, vocal prayer is an essential element of the Christian life. To his disciples, drawn by their master's silent prayer, Jesus teaches a vocal prayer, the Our Father. He not only prayed aloud the liturgical prayers of the synagogue, but as the Gospels show, he raised his voice to express his personal prayer, from exultant blessing of the Father to the glory of Gethsemane. End of quote. The agony.
Okay.
The agony. I was quoting from the Catechism
sure.
there. That.
Right. I want to thank you because you quote so often such pertinent passages from the Catechism of the Catholic Church, which Pope John Paul II said he thought would be perhaps his greatest legacy that he left to the Church in the 27 years of his pontificate. Okay, so we also did we talk about the purgative way, the illuminative way, and the contemplative way? Did we? Is that where we compared it to first base, second base, third base?
That's when Father Groeschel applied the Sermon on the Mount, the eight Beatitudes, the first three applied to the purgative, the second three he applied to the
illuminative,
and then the last two he applied to the contemplative, which is a unification or very, very, very close, intimate relationship with God.
And then crossing home plate was getting home to
getting
heaven,
into
to
heaven, yes.
Father's house.
Right.
I like that. Okay, well, where do we find most often vocal prayers, and what's our ordinary connection with vocal prayers?
Well, vocal or verbal prayers are found in the liturgy, in public gatherings, and are commonly said in private prayer, both formal and spontaneous prayer. Formal prayers are the ones we learned as children, such as the Our Father, the Hail Mary, Glory Be, Memorare, Hail Holy Queen, Acts of Faith, Hope, and Charity, Acts of Contrition, Apostles' Creed, and many, many others. Spontaneous prayers, on the other hand, are ones that we say in our own words as the need arises.
Okay, and that's one of the things I think the charismatic movement that was sort of integrated into the natural or normal life of the church helped many of us learn to pray spontaneously, not just having to use a formula prayer like the beautiful prayer of St. Francis, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. That's a beautiful verbal or prayer we use from the great saints, but that we can pray on our own too, and should often pray on our own.
Well, I think a lot of times people might misunderstand verbal prayer. The objective is, at least a formal, verbal prayer, one that someone else has composed, usually some saints, not always, but a lot of times some saints, is that when you have a certain need, a spiritual need, or maybe even a corporal need for yourself or someone else, find a prayer that most closely expresses what, and probably a lot better than you could express it, that some saint has already, written, and then use that prayer. And of course, as St. Teresa of Avila has told us, say these prayers with attention and devotion. In other words, by attention, pay attention to what you're saying, and devotion, in other words, mean what you're saying. In other words, you make the words your own.
Okay. And there is a danger that just with verbal prayer or reciting prayers, even the Our Father, that beautiful prayer that Jesus gave us, it can become very routine, and we're not really focusing on it very much.
I think that happens to us a lot of times at Sunday Mass when we're saying, let's say, the Creed or the Our Father or any other.
Glory to God, glory to God in the highest.
You get halfway through sometimes and realize you're not even paying any attention. And so we have to constantly, as we tried to emphasize when we had our series on Keep Holy the Lord's Day, when we were talking about the Mass and how to become recollected and or focused and remain so. And it's not easy, and you have to constantly be reminding yourself of where you're at, what you're doing, and what you're saying, and
kind of pulling ourselves back.
Yes, you have to constantly be pulling yourself back, ourselves back.
And I think that's good to know, because I know a lot of good people who think, well, they're really just not able to pray because they have a lot of distractions. But I don't know any of the great saints who didn't have distractions in prayer, and we just gently but firmly pull ourselves back. I think we all know that famous story about I've heard told about St. Francis and St. Ignatius and several other people, but that supposedly St. Francis was talking about prayer, and the person said to him, it's just a matter of willpower. You keep your mind on what you're saying. Don't be a wimp. And St. Francis said, I would give you my horse if you could say the whole Our Father without having any distractions. You give me your horse? Oh my, you're on. So he said, Our Father who art in heaven hallowed, would you also include the saddle?
Yeah.
And it's such a great description of what we all do.
I think St. Teresa of Avila put it that when you have these kinds of distractions, they're just simply like a bee buzzing around, and you shouldn't give in to it, and you just have to constantly use your will, as was said a while ago, to bring yourself back to attention and focusing on what you're doing and what you're looking at or doing or saying or whatever.
And I've heard also from good spiritual writers that if we'll say we're praying in the Blessed Sacrament Chapel, and we keep getting distracted, well, then talk to the Lord about what we're getting distracted about. It must be something pressing in our mind, or a worry, or a fear, or an upcoming meeting that we're going to have some difficulties with. So we can even make our distraction a prayer. Well, what about St. Teresa of Avila? She's considered one of the great masters of prayer, even the highest forms of prayer. She say anything particular about just verbal prayer or vocal prayer?
One of the best things I've read about St. Teresa of Avila was it's not exactly a book, it's a lot more than a pamphlet, by Sam Anthony Morello. He is a Carmelite priest. And he says of St. Teresa of Avila, who, of course, was a Carmelite nun of the 17th century, that, quote, the saint wants us to say our prayers well. She asks that we repeat the words with understanding. She wants us to say our prayers attentively. Reciting our vocal prayers well is already mental prayer, and we'll get into mental prayer in a little while. There is no distinction between mental and vocal prayer when vocal prayer is truly made one's own. He's quoting here from her very famous book called The Way of Perfection. For Teresa, the first lesson in learning to meditate is to say one's vocal prayers with attention and affection, or as I said a while ago, devotion. She taught that verbal prayer could lead to contemplative prayer, which we'll also explain that as we go along, which, as we shall discuss, is a more intimate union with God or relationship with God. And if said devoutly, verbal prayers can cause the mind to begin to reflect on the meaning of the truths contained therein, which is the first step in meditative prayer, a higher form of prayer than verbal prayer.
Okay, and I wonder if we could just say a moment here, because as Catholics, we've been always questioned about this strange practice that to many people, it seems, of praying the rosary when we're repeating, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee, and we're not necessarily thinking about the words. We're supposed to be thinking about the mystery or the event in Jesus' life that we're thinking about, the annunciation of the angel Gabriel to Mary at her home in Nazareth. So the rosary is designed to be a contemplative prayer. And I think sometimes we don't know, we never learned that or we don't know it. And it's really the hardest part of the rosary. We can pray the prayer, sort of a chant background, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. And we can think of the beads easily enough, but to keep our mind on a kind of a little movie running through our mind of that event that the gospel describes, which is supposed to be the door to contemplative prayer, maybe the hardest part of the rosary?
I think that one of the greatest spiritual masters of all time, St. Thérèse of Lisieux, I believe it was she who had a great deal of difficulty saying the rosary. She had a great deal of difficulty in meditating on the mysteries as she said the words of the Hail Mary. The words of the Hail Mary really act as a sort of a mantra. We're going to explain that later on when we get into some other types of prayer, Eastern and New Age type of spirituality that we'll look at later in our discussions here.
But, and we're not going to necessarily encourage
New Age. No, not at all.
Spirituality.
So I use the word mantra with, a great
with a Catholic meaning.
Yeah, with a Catholic
kind meaning. Kind of repetitive.
It's a recollection device. It's a focusing device.
Okay. It comes out of the Middle East.
Yes. It helps us to focus on not the words, because if you start thinking about the words of the rosary, then you won't be able to meditate on the mystery itself. Yeah. So you got to juggle a lot of things when you're saying the rosary, and it takes quite a bit of time to learn to say it very well.
I always find it much easier to pray the rosary with a group, because they kind of carry me along. Otherwise, my mind gets off onto many, many other things, and I've gone 10 minutes and only said one decade of the rosary.
One of the techniques I've used while saying the rosary is sometimes to think about the mystery quite a bit before I actually say the Hail Marys, or say a Hail Mary and focus on the words and then think a little bit about the mystery, and sometimes back and forth that way. I have gotten to a point anymore where I can say the words, though, and not think about the words hardly at all and think about the mystery. But that takes a lot of practice. That's something that just doesn't come easily.
Pope John Paul II said that the rosary, outside of the liturgy or the Mass, the reenactment of the Last Supper, was one of his favorite prayers, and I think he said at least two rosaries a day. I've often seen him in pictures walking through the papal gardens or out alone
with his rosary hanging
in his hands there, going along meditating. Well, isn't it true that vocal prayer, the most basic kind of prayer and the ones we're most used to, hopefully leads us to meditative prayer, our mental prayer, our the second stage of prayer?
Yes, vocal prayer can be a rich source of truth for meditation or mental prayer if we apply our intellect to being aware whom we are addressing and to think about the meaning of the words we are saying. The Our Father, the Hail Mary, the Glory Be, and other formula prayers are rich in the truths of the faith. And these prayers, together with sacred scripture, are the foundations on which all genuine prayer is built. These sources provide us with the essential truths on which we are to meditate.
An example, I think, and I forgot the person about whom it was told, but he was asked by his parish priest, it seems like it takes you you spend a lot of time in prayer. How long would it take you, for instance, to say the Our Father? And he says, I guess it takes me about 10 minutes. You mean to say one Our Father? Well, yes, Father, it takes about that long. And he said, well, how come? He said, well, I start out Our Father, and I think, here I am able to call God, the creator of heaven and earth, Our Father. What a wonderful and intimate term. So he says, every time I say another word, I get thinking what that means. So it carries him into meditation, or carries him into a higher form of prayer. So I don't think I've experienced that a whole lot. Well, it takes me 10 minutes to say the Our Father. But I think that just slowly saying any of those vocal prayers that we learned as children by heart can be a wonderful way to learn to pray.
Well, you know, look at the Catechism and the section on prayer where it explains the Our Father, and it takes 50 pages just to explain the meaning of the Our Father. So all of that would provide a tremendous amount of food for thought for a person to say the Our Father. Now, I think that it would be difficult to say the Our Father, you know, and keep some kind of continuity, or you'd have to have it. I would have to have it written out there and then underlined as I went along and then as I meditated, so I know where to come back to, where I left off at before I started meditating.
Sure. Well, since our time is kind of running down, I would just want to comment that in the Catechism, there are four sections. One is on the Creed, one is on the liturgy or cult, one is on the commandments, and the third is on prayer. And many people say that one of the finest and most inspiring sections of the new Catechism of the Catholic Church is the fourth section on prayer. It has so many, it's like mining gold in a stream that's pouring out gold from the mountain. So that might be a good place if people have trouble reading the catechism to start with that section on the fourth section on prayer.
Yeah, these four sections are called the four pillars of the faith. A pillar, you know, is something that holds up something. So prayer is obviously one of these four pillars that holds up our faith.
We'll be back again in the next session, and we'll continue on the types of prayer: verbal prayer, vocal prayer, meditation or mental prayer, contemplative prayer. In the meantime, thanks for being with us, and may God bless you always and in all ways.